Sadism is depression and powerlessness. Our sexuality is the result of social conditioning, but what I'm saying is that this conditioning is not turning us into sexual automatons. Our sexuality, despite conditioning, remains a flexible, moving thing that is subject to change. I have observed that in most cases, profound changes in sexual attraction are following up to previous changes in our emotional predilection. As I have gone through the process myself and several times over the last 30 years, I know that I am not talking about theory. I have lived in my life through virtually all possible sexual attractions for human beings. They were not cumulative, but one at a time and for a certain time, not just a few years. They taught me important lessons, as the feeling level is different when you love a woman or a man, and then again different when you love a boy, and again different when you love a small girl. The second reason that is perhaps more important is to be found in sexual conditioning itself. I distinguish between genuine heterosexuality and fake heterosexuality. Ours is a fake heterosexuality, while the heterosexuality of most tribal populations is a genuine heterosexuality. What is the difference? There are two factors: sexual experience and personal power. In Western and now also global consumer culture, the child is generally not allowed to gain sexual experience, and as in nature, nothing can be learned without actually doing it. Here lies the main reason why our sexual conditioning is not one that directs children toward heterosexuality, but, as I have shown in my book Power or Depression, toward homosexuality. Regarding personal power, the same applies, and in fact, a sexually experienced person is always also a powerful person. But as a result of a general denial of individual power and spirituality during patriarchy, we face in our traditional Western education not only a repression of emotions, sexuality and tactile pleasure, but also of personal power. The child is treated like a special race, addressed in a special language, wrapped in special wear, bathed in special tubs, given special food to eat, and special toys to play with, and put in special houses called kindergarten that suggest the child being a special person that is supposed to lead a special life. The special life is a residual, not a complete life. It is a life, namely, deprived of many essential experiences that every adult, rich or poor, goes through on a daily basis. The most essential in the life of the modern child is lacking, namely tactile and sexual pleasure and the corresponding social coding that acknowledges and recognizes the right of the child to be sexual as a genuine manifestation of the child's soul power. It goes without saying that sexuality cannot be built naturally when it is not acted out. What is built when sexual energies are withheld is perversion. This insight is clearly established and corroborated by psychoanalysis and sexology, but it also is a truth that a simple, honest human being intuitively grasps. What patriarchy has tried to veil is the fact that it is not power that is destructive, but powerlessness, the very repression of power. That this simple truth is veiled in our culture throughout most of human history is no wonder. It is part of what Marx called the Überbau, the makeup that uses psychological manipulation, mass hypnosis, or political lies to keep the masses from finding out the simple truth about the underlying socio-economic base structure of society. As it is with natural sexuality, so it is with personal power. It is not power that is destructive, but powerlessness, thwarted power. Every human being who is conscious of his or her natural soul power is loving and constructive. natural power is necessary, biologically and socially, for us to defend ourselves, to mark our difference, or for building the courage to stand up for our preferences. How do you want to build your personal reality with all that it implies, without this minimum amount of courage? And for building courage, you need a feeling of power. When you feel utterly powerless, you have very little courage, and every day becomes a riddle with a thousand open questions. Should I do this? Should I engage in that? Is it not too dangerous? Will I not hurt myself when I stand up for my desire? Without courage, without taking risk, you simply cannot live. Life then becomes perverted, and you become a pervert. What is a pervert? A pervert is somebody who has no power, who has so little courage to stand up for his values that he might throw a bomb in a church or rape a child in a public toilet once in a while. Why? To get a power thrust. When you believe in this society's dangerous lies that are mainly brought forth by its morality principle, you have from the start lost your soul power and your innocence, and you are from the start more perverse than by nature, and you are from the start more dangerous to any community. Morality is perverse. It is the ultimate form of perversion. The destructive thirst for power is not built in our natural demonic setup, but is a result of repressing our natural aggressiveness. What happens when we repress the hot, melting, and streaming sensations that a naturally self-regulated body experiences? Life cools down. Our emotions cool down. Our sexual desire cools down. Our appetite cools down. And our humanity cools down. Then we experience the cold rigidity of control, and love and compassion get lost along the way. This desire for controlling life is a byproduct of angst, the fear of our own destructiveness. And here lies exactly the logical circle, the fundamental error, because this destructiveness is not part of our natural setup, but a result of our striving away from it because of the culturally induced perversion of morality. This perverse transmutation of natural power into powerlessness and sadistic control can be compared with the retrogradation of a planet that we know from astronomy and astrology. When the spin of a planet changes direction, which is a natural event to happen in the life of every planet, the energy of the planet changes as well. Astrology assumes that the naturally positive energy of the planet becomes negative during the time of retrogradation. What then happens is that the planet's energy is interiorized and can only serve our inner or personal development, but not our social advance or recognition in society. This image from astrology can be generally applied to the workings of the vital energies. For a positive and healthy development of a child, it is necessary that the élan vital, the bioenergy, is in constant flow and that it does not stagnate, as it does, for example, in the case when sexuality is forbidden or experienced only under strong guilt. What then happens is namely an inversion of the energy, both sexually and socially. The once heterosexually inclined child becomes homosexually inclined, the originally sociable child becomes a loner, and the happy and adept child becomes an anxious, morose, and inept child. This is often the result of being punished for sex play in early childhood or religious prohibitions that bring about strong guilt and that can severely block the further psychosexual development of the child. The child then begins to think and reflect instead of acting joyfully and spontaneously, and the creativity potential is more or less impaired. At the same time, the child becomes introvert and retires more and more from natural social involvement. In addition, it goes without saying that if the general tenor in a family is upon prudishness and pleasure denial, the upsurge of sexual perversions is inevitable. By contrast, in tribal cultures, where children can live their sexuality freely with other children, and where children are not physically punished, as for example in the Tropirian culture of Papua New Guinea, perversions are practically non-existent. In this unique matriarchal culture, children sleep from about age 3 in special houses where the parents are frowned upon to enter and engage in promiscuous sex among peers from that early age. The emotional and sexual maturity of the child thus is built through direct contact, initiation, sex play, and eventually intercourse with other children as love partners. The parents restrain themselves to interfere in the nightlife of their children, and they are highly permissive generally as to the emotional and sexual needs and wants of their children. Children in Trobriand therefore develop a high level of personal autonomy very early in life. In Western civilization, things look very different, and this since many generations, actually since patriarchy reigns, while we have information that before that time, children enjoyed a higher amount of sexual freedom. Still in the Middle Ages, a pubescent child was considered to be an adult. Marriage for a girl was at around 12 years, and for a boy at around 14, which was at the same time the age when a boy finished his apprenticeship with a master and opened his own workshop. Thus, still in the Middle Ages, we have a certain congruity between biological maturity and social maturity, or between sexual adulthood and social adulthood.